Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
Courageous call! That's on fourth and five!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studio.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Thursday, August the 23rd, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald as we talk all things Miami Dolphins and get you ready for the upcoming 2018 regular season, which is fast approaching. We talk about a variety of subjects and all the hot topics surrounding the Miami Dolphins at this moment. It's been a great week of shows here so far. We've had a lot of great guests on. We have had on Cameron Wolf from ESPN. Yesterday we had on Greg Likens from 790 The Ticket. Today, Armando Salguero. And we might have a surprise or two for you as well later this week. So be on the lookout for that. There's really not much else happening right now in the world of the Miami Dolphins to talk about. We've sort of covered a lot this week. And right now it's a slow sort of news period as we are about 2 days away here from the third preseason game, the dress rehearsal against the Ravens on Saturday night. So I'm not going to waste anybody's time. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I will be joined by Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald as we talk all things Miami Dolphins.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in the South Florida area, visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald. Armando, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing outstanding, Mike. How are you?
I am doing great. So let's start off talking about the quarterback spot. And I want to talk about the depth at that spot. As of right now, heading into this third preseason game, if you had to guess, who's going to be the guy to grab that number two quarterback spot as we head into the regular season?
Well, you're asking me to reveal closely guarded secrets. Uh-oh. That the Dolphins have shared only with me, Mike. Not really. So, look, let me just give you a little bit of a peek into tomorrow night, and that is, I believe that Brock Osweiler gets second team duties tomorrow night because David Fales, frankly, didn't play well against Carolina. I think his quarterback rating was like 0.0.
Yeah, I think it was 1-for-6 with one interception or something like that. Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. So, you know, there's those kind of performances have you know, reverberations on what goes on in the next game. And so that the consequence is that Osweiler will be number two this week.
This week,
Adam Gase says this is going to go down to the last week. And in the last week, Ryan Tannehill is not going to play.
Yep.
And those other two guys are going to play a lot. And so that's when I think it'll finally be decided, including the performances that they put on in maybe each getting a quarter tomorrow night.
Okay. Now, after, let's say, the final preseason games and all these, and there's going to be a lot of guys on the open market with a lot of teams releasing a lot of players, would Miami consider a quarterback that is released from another team, or are they content to roll in 2018 with either Osweiler or Fales as a number two quarterback, you think?
So they're very sensitive about this.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, they are, because myself and other members of the media that cover the team, I believe, have been kind of critical of the play of both David Fales and Osweiler. And the team has stood on a, you know, on a desk and said, no, one of these guys will be our backup. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. And that remains the situation until it's no longer the situation.
Yep.
If someone with some sort of, I guess, some sort of, you know, history with Adam Gase, maybe someone that has, the chance of being better than either one of these two guys, which includes you and me, then I have to believe that they will, you know, default to let's just get the best guy. Now, obviously, the problem with that is there are consequences, because the best guy who is out there hasn't been with the team the entire training camp, wasn't with the team in OTAs, wasn't with the teams in the mini camp. And so that guy might have to start from scratch. And when you have a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, whose next start in the regular season will be his first start in over 600 days.
You got to have insurance.
You've got to have insurance. You've got to make sure that if something goes wrong, if he steps on a, you know, on a sprinkler on his way to the field, you have someone that you can plug and play. And someone that you just signed off of someone's waiver wire is not that guy. So there's a lot of things to consider, but ultimately, I believe that they want the best guy, and that may not necessarily be one of the guys presently on the roster.
That makes a lot of sense. Running backs. We haven't seen Frank Gore yet for obvious reasons. He doesn't need to play in the preseason all that much, although I'm sure he'll probably play this week. When the regular season comes, what do you think the split will be with him and Kenny and Drake? Because I think that Frank Gore, I think he's going to play a little more than most people expect this year, and it's not going to be a full-time workload for Kenny and Drake. What are your thoughts on that?
I think they're going to split the snaps. I think that at least initially, it's going to be divided evenly. Eventually, if someone kind of separates from the other one, then, you know, that's the guy. And it's going to be determined game to game. I would say to you that Adam Gase has a lot of respect for Frank Gore because he coached, you know, Frank Gore in San Francisco. He was on the staff in San Francisco when Frank Gore was there. And so he has a special place in his heart for Frank Gore. Frank Gore is going to be treated like he's 25, mm-hmm. not 35. In other words, what I'm saying by that is the Dolphins and Adam Gase don't think, well, you know, we've got this old war horse whose insurance policy, in case the guy that averaged 4.8 yards a pop last year for us, you know, hurts himself or isn't fully himself or something happens or he has a fallback type of year like Jay Ajah had last year. That's not the way it's going to be. Frank Gore to them is every bit the starter for them as Kenyon Drake is. Frank Gore for them is every bit in the plans as what Kenyon Drake is. At least that's how it's going to start. Now, how it plays out throughout the regular season, you know, we'll have to watch and see. But at the beginning, Frank Gore is every bit in play for everything, including starting as Kenyon Drake.
It makes sense because the past few years, he's put up some great numbers in Indianapolis. And until something shows us where he can't be that type of guy anymore, who is anyone to doubt him at this point? Because it's like he just keeps putting up big year after big year, even on a team like the Indianapolis Colts, whose offensive line was probably just as bad as Miami's in years past, who didn't have Andrew Luck all the time, and he was still putting up good numbers there. So I wouldn't be shocked by that in the least if he's on the field a lot more than I think most fans think. Tight end, Mike Gesicki. If he's not the starting tight end week one, how many games into the season before he is the starter? Because I would think he has to be the plan for him to be out there the most, because the rest of the guys at that spot are okay, but they're not on the level of him just from a physical ability.
Yeah, so I've written that Gesicki is going to be a starter, and he's already been a starter.
Yeah.
I mean, he started the last two preseason games. He's going to start the one against Baltimore, and when they play, you know, Tennessee, he's going to start that game.
Okay, so
he's going to start.
Okay.
There aren't a lot of 6'6" guys that you know, jump 41 inches off the ground available. And yeah. Gesicki is one of them. And so is he a rookie? Yes. Does he have a lot to learn? Yes. Is it new for him in many respects? Yes. And yet he is 6'6" and jumps 41 inches off the ground.
Can't teach that. You can't teach that. He's got it. Yep.
Right. He goes and he gets the football. Name me someone else on the Dolphins roster that does what he can do. And there is no one. No one. So he plays.
Okay. Opposite side of the ball. Let's talk about the secondary real quick, because I think that's sort of been something that has sort of taken a lot of fans by surprise, that Miami is in the market for a number two cornerback. Does it look like if they don't add someone via trade, which we don't know if they will or not, but just assume they start the year with the guys that they have on hand right now. Is it going to be Bobby McCain on the outside, you think? And is that a smart move? Because by moving him to the outside, are they weakening two spots by sliding him to the outside and then having someone else in the slot where we know Bobby McCain is a great slot cornerback? Is that a wise move in your opinion?
Yeah, that's a good question. And the answer that they would give you is that their first-round draft pick, Minkah Fitzpatrick, 60% of the snaps that he took in college, he took at slot corner. And I've talked to a lot of NFL scouts who thought that Minkah Fitzpatrick would be a very good slot corner in the NFL. And so that's who it's going to be, not if, but when Bobby McCain starts on the outside for the Dolphins. Having said that, that's not the plan. That wasn't supposed to.
Yep.
This isn't the way it was supposed to work out. The Dolphins didn't sign Bobby McCain to one of the best slot corner contracts for him to be an outside corner. They expected Cordray Tankersley to take another step from last year. He hasn't. They expected Tony Lippett to be the same guy that he was in 2016 when he started 13 games. He hasn't been. And so what you have is you have guys that didn't pan out the way you expected. Tankersley is coming off a bad game against Carolina. He hasn't been great in practices. He hasn't been good in practices. There have been days in practice where I've seen him working with the third team. And so what you have is Bobby McCain to the rescue, and it feels okay because Fitzpatrick can fill the slot corner spot, they think. But don't be fooled. That's not what was supposed to happen.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and I just worry if they're weakening two spots and by not having McCain in the slot like the plan and then sort of rolling dice on the outside. But I guess they feel maybe Minkah can pull down the slot and they're okay with McDonald back there at safety with Jones. It's going to be real interesting.
Well, do the exercise.
Yeah.
Do the exercise. If they don't start Bobby McCain outside and they keep him at slot, now you have a good established experienced slot corner, but you have a disaster on the outside. This way, you have an okay guy on the outside, and you have a rookie first-round draft pick that most people project to be solid at slot corner. And we don't know. I mean, maybe Minkah Fitzpatrick is a stud, at slot corner.
Hey, let's hope.
We're kind of projecting.
Yeah, I know. Just like we are also projecting at linebacker, because there's a lot of youth there as well. Raekwon, I know some fans have been hard on him, but, I mean, he is essentially a rookie. Last week was probably his second game, really, as a rookie. You got him. You have Jerome Baker and Alonzo. I'm not that concerned about the guys there. It's who's behind them and the depth. Chase Allen, he's had a strong summer. Is this another spot where you think Miami will be looking on the waiver wire to sort of add some help in the next week or so?
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you a little Uh-oh. Bit. I am concerned about the guys that are starting. And here's the reason. I'm fine with Raekwon McMillan starting at middle linebacker. I'm fine with Kiko Alonso starting at the will. I'm fine with, you know, Jerome Baker learning on the go and starting at strong side. What I'm not fine with is Raekwon McMillan in the nickel. That, to me, looked horrible last week. When I saw that rookie tight end not just catch the ball because he had separation already, but then he extended and Raekwon, you know, suddenly was out of the picture. And that's a 270-pound tight end who was outrunning Raekwon McMillan to the goal line. And that's a bad look in the nickel. Yeah. That's not good. So I don't know if Raekwon's legs are tired or he's not. I don't know what that was.
Well, it's so funny you mentioned that, because when I saw that play last week, as I'm watching the game, the first thing that popped in my mind was last year at the draft when Miami selected him, everyone on TV, Mike Mayock, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, they all three said the same thing. He's not a three-down player. He got picked a little too high. In this day of age, you need him. You need guys who have more speed, who can do more in the passing game. And you watched that one play last week. That was the first thing that popped in my mind. You know, everyone likes to rip on those guys sometimes, but maybe they were right. Maybe they were right when they were talking about Raekwon. Obviously, it's one play in one preseason game. We'll see more as the year goes on. But you know what? Maybe they were right about him in 2017.
The thing, I think the team was right. When that pick happened, the way it was sold to me as the – you know, so by sources inside the team was he's a 20 play a game guy. So he's going to be our first and second down linebacker.
Take him off
and he'll
nickel.
Get to learn and everything will be fine. And we're not expecting him to play all three downs. And now I look up and he's playing all three downs. And he didn't play last year to suggest that, you know, he knows how to do it, number one, or that he physically can do it in the NFL, number two. I don't really think it's a good matchup. Raekwon McMillan covering Deion Lewis.
That's going to be bad.
In the season opener.
That's going to be bad.
That is a nightmare to me. And yet that is something that could happen. And that is bad all day long.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that week one game is sort of a matchup nightmare, just sort of all across the board for Miami with Henry and Lewis, how they can sort of run the ball right up the middle, which is probably a weak spot now for Miami, I think, with their interior of the line there on defense. And then you got Lewis out there in the passing game. That's probably the one team you don't want to face in week one for Miami, but, we'll see how that goes.
I don't know. Is Delanie Walker still on the Titans?
I think he is, I think he is.
Well, guess what? That is a bad matchup.
Yeah, I know.
Long for
it's the worst matchup.
If that's how they choose to deal with it.
I would have much rather see it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the tight end, he runs almost like a receiver. So there's nothing about Raekwon in the nickel that seems – appetizing to me right now. Nothing.
Yeah, that's not good. And you also look at that pick last year that they traded for Stephon Anthony. I know at the time why they made the trade, because they were shorthanded with Lawrence and stuff when he sort of just left. But in hindsight, that trade, it just did not pan out in the least. Because, I mean, he's just not going to help, I don't think, that much, that linebacker unit. So I think the linebackers, probably the weakest area on this roster heading into the season. Is there a guy on this team who nobody is sort of talking about, who you think is sort of flying under the radar, who might make the roster, whether it's a Jalen Davis type? Is there somebody like that out there who is going to sneak on this roster with the final 53? I was thinking about this the other day. It was tough to come up with somebody.
Well, I mean, not someone really that's going to be in the mix to start or anything. At linebacker, at the depth that you're worried about, I mean, Terrence Garvin is looking like he's going to make the team. So I don't know that a lot of people are going, I know about Terrence Garvin. He's awesome.
All I know is he came from Seattle. That's all I know about him. Yeah.
He's kind of an under-the-radar guy. Yeah. He's a veteran. He knows where to be and how to get there. That's good.
Yeah.
And so maybe him. Obviously, Torrey McTyre is going to make the team, it looks like. I don't know that he's an under-the-radar guy. I mean, he
got a lot of press this summer.
Exactly. So there is not someone that all of a sudden we're going to say, oh, my God, we didn't see this guy coming, because, you know, there's only so many guys. And we've seen what we've seen, and the practices are open.
Yeah.
It's not, you know.
Who's going to be the kicker?
There is no magic bullet.
There's no magic bullet, yeah. Who's going to be the kicker? Is this going to be the job for Jason Sanders? Is this sort of his job to lose unless he totally implodes here these final two preseason games? And will this be something similar to last year where after the final preseason game, if there's someone else out there they like, would they sort of move on from Sanders even though they used a seventh-round pick on him? Or are they sort of all in on Sanders as long as he doesn't blow up here?
They're not all in on anybody like that. He has to continue to play. I learned my lesson back in 2005, where Jay Feely was still on the roster, and he looked like he was going to be the backup quarterback to Gus Frerotte. And he came out in the final preseason game, and I think he went like something like 1 of 14 and threw an interception. And the next day, Nick Saban either traded him or cut him because he was, you know, he was throwing up watching the film of Jay Feely, a veteran and a guy who had started game for the Dolphins, playing against number twos and number threes and simply sucking. So we can't assume that just because either a guy was drafted or a guy was, you know, so far this preseason through two games has been okay, is on the team or has won a job, because even to the last preseason game for some of these guys, if they're going to play, their reputation and their job's on the line.
Yeah, absolutely. The 2015 draft class. This is a big year for two people in particular, Devontae Parker and Jordan Phillips. If you had to look into your Armando Salguero crystal ball, 1 year from now, will either one of those guys be on the Miami Dolphins, you think?
I think Devontae has a chance to be on the team. He has to change the arc of what's been happening this summer. Devontae now can play the two outside receiver spots. He knows the two outside receiver spots. So that's going to help him, because now they can sort of hide him to where the defense can't just pluck him out every single play. Having said that, in practice, throughout the summer, he hasn't been what I would say explosive. He hasn't been impressive, and now he's hurt. And so all the things that the Dolphins need to see from him to have a good feeling about him, we haven't seen. You know, yeah, he's done the work to be better and improve and this and that, but it's the same narrative. Well, he can't perform because he's been hurt. Well, he's hurt again. And guess what? In the NFL, you're probably hurt
every week,
80% of the time. I mean, I'm not talking injured. I'm talking hurt. There is no guy in an NFL roster, on an NFL roster, save maybe kickers and punters, that goes into November feeling great in their body. They just it's just hard, and so I don't know how Devontae Parker, who has a reputation for A, getting hurt, and B, not playing well when he's hurt, overcome this whole thing when, guess what? He's hurt. So it's hard. Maybe something just clicks. Something just happens. Something that we haven't seen in practice, suddenly through osmosis and the touch of God, he turns it on and becomes the guy that we hope that he can become and that he has the tools to become. But otherwise, you know, the guy that was drafted looking like A.J. Green and Julio Jones, he's not even the shadow of A.J. Green or Julio Jones.
And I think you wrote that article a few weeks back saying how the first 2 years in Miami, he was eating a healthy breakfast. He was up late at night playing video games. He wasn't eating a healthy dinner and stuff. I read that article, I wasn't totally shocked because clearly something was wrong, as the guy has all the talent in the world and it's not translating down the field. But you read that article, it's almost so disheartening. It's like, God, you're blowing a great opportunity. And it's like, hopefully this is the year. I know we say it every year. Hopefully this is the year where he puts it all together. Final question for you, and it's everybody's favorite topic. And I'm going to take it from a different approach, which is the national anthem. Come week one, we know that somebody is going to be on a knee for the national anthem for the Miami Dolphins. Maybe a few players with Wilson also sit next to Stills. Is this going to be something that hangs over the head of this team the entire season? And do you think this could not negatively impact the team, but are they able to sort of zone out the noise that one issue brings? It seems like week in, week out, when it's not just the sports media, it's CNN, it's Anderson Cooper, Fox News, when it's talked about, it seems like every week. Is that something that they're able to zone out, or do you think, like, it's going to be a huge topic again this year, and it might be larger than it has been in past years. Is that something that could negatively impact this team over time?
Well, so let's take that one at a time, because that's a lot of stuff to project. I don't know what the NFL's policy is going to be. I don't even know that they're going to have the policy in place by the time the regular season begins. So, I'm hoping that it's a smart, intelligent agreement between the players and the league, and they can all abide by it. And it includes respecting, everybody's wishes, one, to protest, two, to not disrespect the national anthem and the flag. So there's that. That's a hard ask.
It's hard to get everybody on the same page. Yep.
Well, because one half of people say we're not disrespecting anything, and the other half of people, in fact, they're saying that we're not even protesting the national anthem and the flag. And then the other half is like, well, you're not protesting the national anthem and the flag, but I see you protesting during the national anthem. Yeah. And so as far as we're concerned, you're protesting the national anthem and the flag. So there's a visceral disagreement between the two sides.
I know. Every time I talk about it on the show, I get so much hate mail or email. It's like, I'm not even taking a side. Sometimes I'm just sort of talking about it. People are so entrenched in their camps, it's not even funny. It's
correct.
It's really
so
scary.
Do I trust that the NFL and the players' union will be able to come to an agreement that will please everybody? Absolutely, positively not. Okay?
With you.
So, because I just don't see it happening. I just, in many regards, we're worse than what we were last year. Last year during preseason, there were no protests. People had moved on to, now we've made folks aware, now we want to get about solving the problem. Well, guess what? A year later, we're back to, no, we're protesting. I don't know where it's going to go. I do know this. I do know that if there are maybe, I would say, a handful of guys on the Dolphins who believe strongly in the protests, and they get a lot of publicity. I also know there's like 45 guys typically, maybe more, on the Dolphins that don't believe in protesting during the national anthem and the flag, and they get much less publicity because it's like the media kind of focuses in on what is different and not, you know, we think about man bites dog instead of dog biting man. If everybody stands at attention, that's dog biting man. When someone protests, this man bites dog. And so, having said that, once play begins, I don't see a division between those handful of guys and the 40 other guys. I don't see any division between them. I see that they come together, and I see that they do what they need to do to try to win a game. So, do they disagree amongst themselves? Look, Michael Thomas told me 2 years ago, we don't have a consensus because guys within this locker room vehemently disagree with me. And I vehemently disagree with them. So if the players are putting out this narrative of we're united, we're a brotherhood, no, you're not. You're as divided as the rest of society. But when the game kicks off, that's when their unity begins. That's where I don't believe that teams win or lose because of a national anthem protest. Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. It's one of those things which hopefully maybe soon is something that will just not be a topic that is always being talked about. But until it is that, I mean, it's something that will always be talked about by not just the people in sports, but also like that. Like I said, the national news, your CNNs, Fox News, all those guys. I mean, it's a horrible thing. So, Armando, I would like to thank you for joining us on the podcast here tonight. Everyone, be sure to follow Armando Salguero on Twitter at Armando Salguero and also read his work at the Miami Herald. And also, for those who don't know, the Miami Herald now has a sports-only subscription. I think it's only about $30 a year, and you get just the sports content. It's a great deal. I signed up myself about a week or two back. I think that's a great thing you guys are doing there.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate you mentioning it, and I appreciate you being, a subscriber. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
And I hope that people do, you know, give us consideration. We're at every event. We're at every game. We're at every press conference. We send multiple people to them all, and that costs money. And so that's why, you know, your folks used to buy newspapers. Now,
days are over.
Digital subscriptions. Yeah.
Digital subscriptions. Times have changed. Armando, thanks so much.
$250 a month.
Yes, exactly. $250 a month. Everybody can afford that. I know they can. And it's worth it for all the great content from yourself, from Adam Beasley, from Barry Jackson, and all the other guys who work all the other sports at the Miami Herald. It is a great site, great, and it's just great work you guys always put out.
Thank you.
So, Armando, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We'll have you on again sometime down the road for sure, as always. And you have a good night.
All right. You too, man. Be
well. All right. Bye-bye.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types. DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
Once again, I would like to thank Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald for joining us on a podcast. Everyone, like I said, be sure to follow him on Twitter at Armando Salguero and read his work at themiamiherald.com. We'll probably have a podcast on Friday, but I'm not sure yet. We have a guest lined up, but the scheduling sort of been going back and forth. So as of right now, the plan is to have a show on Friday. If not, we are going to have a show Saturday, the countdown to kickoff show hosted by Tom Ernesty right here at DolphinsTalk.com. And then right after the game, Saturday night, will be the post-game wrap-up show with myself and Bobby Melendez this week. And that'll probably drop really late Saturday night. You'll probably see it, most of you, on Sunday morning when you wake up. So we still got a lot of shows the rest of the week. Like I said at the top, it's been a great week of shows with Cameron Wolf, Greg Likens, Armando Salguero, and we got a bunch more people lined up, not only for this week, but for next week as well, to sort of get you ready and prepped for the regular season, as it's here, folks. NFL football is, I mean, the real NFL football. I'm not counting the preseason stuff. The NFL season, the regular season, is really, really fast approaching, and it is here. And we're the website and we're the podcast to get you ready for the upcoming 2018 Miami Dolphins season. As always, be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. A lot of new content up on there. There is a new Perfectville podcast that will be up shortly, maybe by the time most of you are listening to this. You have to check up the Fins Up, Fans Down podcast that was posted this week. Great stuff from them. And just a bunch of new articles as well. As always, follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalk, at DolphinsTalk. And you can also follow me on Instagram at DolphinsTalk as well. If you want to send me an email, I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. And I think that's about it. So everyone, have a great rest of your day. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.